At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Tribe, welcome back. October 6th. We just wrapped up game week 7. Word to the wise for everyone out there. International break coming up this week, so no game week 8. That's coming next week. On that point, today's a bit of a special episode because we are in an international break, so we're going to do something a little different. And then next week, we'll be back giving you the typical game week 8 player picks. Looking forward to that game week, kind of talking transfers, the stuff that we normally do. But in that international break, I think we're all hoping that, you know, this always gets me a little nervous, international breaks, right? Because you got guys like Haaland who are absolutely on fire. The last thing you need is that guy to get hurt. But on the flip side, you got guys like Gyökeres, who's going in for Sweden, and he could use a goal right now. He could really use a goal to get himself going. So international breaks are like, I like it because it might open the door for some guys to get hot, but I don't want people to get hurt. So, you know, it's interesting because we're in the moment now, I think. You know, game week 7 through 10 is probably the time where we're really starting to figure out who's good, who's not good, starting to understand. Like, if you get lucky and or call it in the early season where you get these good guys, you're ahead of a game, but now I think is when FPL really starts, because now is when, you know, you can really start catching people by understanding, you know, who's good and who's not good. But that was a long intro. How are you guys doing? That wasn't supposed to be that long, but how are you two doing?
Pretty good, you know. No complaints.
No complaints.
Minor complaints.
No complaints over here, but it's about time to wrap up the episode after that intro, right?
Yeah, what are we on,
40 minutes?
We're on a minute and 10 seconds.
Just
but, you
kidding.
Know.
Very astute observations on your part, Sean.
Wow, that was really nice of you. Yeah. That was really nice of you. But yeah, I mentioned it. So today's topic, right, we're going to do our typical Fireside Mini League review. Phil's going to hit that. And then we're just talking midfielders today. We're talking all things midfielders. We're just going to have a conversation about it. Because of all the positions, goalie not included, defense, midfield, forward, right now midfield is probably the hardest one to kind of pinpoint the players that you really need. So we're going to talk midfielders for the whole episode today. But Phil, why don't you give us the mini league review? You have a lot to talk about, you and Dave, actually.
I do.
Yeah.
And you probably already have that ready over there, right?
Always.
Definitely.
I'm always ready.
Definitely
I'm always
has
ready.
2 hours later.
I was going to use that, but now I'm not.
You don't need to because...
No, it's
that's
ready.
That's what I'm here for.
It's ready. We're in there. I am on my own team, but...
So we're in the little damn corner down there, and you have the table...
I'm working
Dave,
on it. Loading it up.
Still loading it up.
It's getting there.
Jeez.
Oh my god.
Just talk. It's
no, no, there. I don't know what to do if the table's not up.
The table's up.
See, you don't know, so.
I don't know. Shit.
Go.
The three of us are still the top three of the Fireside Mini League. And today it's Dave's turn to be the number one guy of the week.
What a week.
Both him and I wild carded, and I think had a pretty decent week. But Dave had a great week, ending with 95 points.
Big time.
Let's go.
So, Dave, do you want to talk us through your team, your thought process, and why your wild card was so successful?
Sure do.
I
went with... So, my starting lineup this week was Pope, Thiao, Gabriel, Timber, Kudus, Sar, Gordon, Semenyo, Mateta, Haaland, Gyökeres.
They can see it on the screen.
I know, but I just like to say it because I'm
okay.
A good man.
Gotcha.
But I went with double Newcastle, double Arsenal, Pope and Net because he's cheaper than Raya. Theo because I used every penny that I had and I couldn't afford Dan Byrne, and Theo was a tenth less.
Yeah, I was wondering what was up with that.
But he's pretty nailed for minutes. For minutes now, I think.
Also, quick weird thing. I don't know if it's the last few games, but he's now the center back and Dan Byrne is playing left back. So DEFCON for Dan Byrne is probably going to go down.
Don't they play three in the back?
And sometimes,
but this time it was
like a true left.
No,
that guy's like 6 foot.
When they play back four, he plays left.
It's
back.
It's a true left back, and he looks silly, but he got an assist. But sorry, back to you.
He's a giant, but
he's a giant.
Yeah, he got an assist this week.
Good on him.
Yeah, double Arsenal. We like that. I'm kind of on Kudus now. I thought he's been looking good without getting the returns, and that worked out. Yeah. Sar comes back and does his thing. Semenyo, I can skip over him. We already know. Haaland, same deal. I like Anthony Gordon for Newcastle.
Yeah, I don't know why, but
I just think he's their first choice on the left. He missed some time.
Just kind of a hustle guy for me, but I understand why. I mean, he creates.
It's okay. So. I think Newcastle are slightly overlooked. But that's just my opinion.
That's fair.
Yorkrish, Mateta. I really like Mateta. I think the goals are coming. He had two glorious chances again and didn't score this past weekend. He's only Haaland has a higher XG than him amongst forwards. So I think the goals are coming. Dubravka, Enzo, Rodon, and Mukelli are the bench. Like the Enzo pick, just had a bad matchup against Liverpool, but probably going to bench boost next week.
Smart.
So. That was kind of the overall theory behind my team, is getting guys that were usable in both weeks, but especially in game week 8.
I love that. We have all now cracked into the top million. You're around 550,000. I think Phil's closer to 600,000, and I'm right around like 210,000 after that week. I dropped a bit. But
you
still
had a pretty good week, given that.
Yeah, I did. I beat the average by a little bit, but when you're talking in these top, you know, couple hundred thousand, you get near the average and you're going to drop. So, you know, you got to keep it going. But no, it's great.
I do think we should shout out Troy. Bolden? Second place FC. He did captain Semenyo.
All right, Troy.
Doesn't have Haaland, so obviously maybe makes his choice a little easier.
36. And he had Grealish.
Because Salah is trash. But he captained Semenyo and he played Grealish.
Yeah, he did.
And Grealish returned the favor with an absolute banger. Top chatter.
Question. Let me look at something just real quick. I just feel I just feel like we...
People who didn't watch the game are going to be like, oh, let me go look up Grealish.
Oh, Danny Munoz scored on himself.
Okay.
Stole Ndiaye another assist.
We good? Anyone else you want to call out?
No. Just a great week, and let's keep it rolling, Fire Trab.
All right.
Back to you, Sean.
Back to me.
Seem eager to get to
I'm not
pressing
eager.
Buttons over there.
I'm just trying to keep
things... One time you're not near the top, you're like, oh, let's get through the second super fast.
I'm trying to keep things running over here. And I don't like not being first. Well, I am first, but on the weekend. So.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, listen, here's the thing, right? Wild card is so important because I used my wild card 3 weeks ago. I had a great week. I have a lot of Tottenham guys because at the time they were killing it. Now they're not, so... Something to be said, sometimes waiting a little longer for that wild card. Now Dave and Phil have all the players that are hot. So, you know, it's that's what I'm saying. You know, you wait a couple weeks, we get into the closer to the middle of the season and things change, you know. So that's that. Now, on to the topics.
It's time for topics and transfers.
But without the transfers today.
No transfers.
Just the topic.
Transfers
just,
next week.
Just the topic.
Like and subscribe and ding that bell.
All right, first topic of the day. Rodri and Odegaard are both hurt again. Odegaard, MCL sprain, I believe. Rodri hurt his hamstring. I'm not going to talk much about Odegaard. There's not, frankly, a lot more
He's
to
made
say
of glass.
On him.
There's nothing to say.
I think Rodri, Rodri's never really been an FPL stud, but... For Man City, he can make a lot of things work, which helps the players around him. But again, despite Pep's best effort, he's tried to keep him off the field. Still got hurt. He's not playing for Spain, so he's going to get a rest.
Yeah.
But
I will say one thing on those injuries, and any doctors out there, correct me, but I do think like hamstring injuries or quad injuries are pretty frequent when you're coming back from the injury.
It,
so
it never really heals fully, it feels like. I mean, you have the best doctors in the world and you see these athletes continue
to but you normally like, I don't know where I could be making this up.
Well, let me ask you
this question. I'm pretty sure you get one injury and then you can kind of...
Let me ask you this then.
No, I don't.
Because I was going to ask you this anyway, so this is perfect. Are we seeing, I'm not trying to overreact, but are we seeing what feels like the end of the coming down of his prime? He's 29 years old. He's now injured a lot. Is he coming down off his prime? Are we going to see him?
No.
And Bernardo Silva also, like, they got Reinders, they got Cherokee. Like, is this the last season we're really going to see him as an actual big piece of this team?
No, absolutely not.
You don't think, with all these injuries, 29, almost 30 years old,
he
you think
is
he's
a tall individual. Tall individuals have harder times coming back from these injuries, especially like muscle stuff, using the doctor lingo. Mm-hmm. I think it is common to get one of these like hamstrings or like quad injuries after a knee injury, but now he can rehab both, continue to strengthen the knee and rehab like the target area in his leg, and I think he's still going to come back fine. It's just going to take a little longer. And he's 29. Like Modric
and Ronaldo are a bit of a different case.
No, but I'm using Modric as an example, or Kroos. They had some of their better years at like 34, 35. Rodri's never a guy that really needs to be physical and be the fastest out there. He can use his brain and his skill. So I think his role in City is more of that like pivot guy that doesn't need to like run everywhere. So I think he's going to have a few more really good years for City. I think it's just going to take some time for him to get back in form.
All right, that's fair. Next topic. Don't worry, Dave. I'll have a question for you, too.
Oh,
and I can see you're eager over there.
Oh,
So this is just a quick mention for anyone who has Grealish. I actually just showed it on the screen. He cannot play in this next week against Man City. It is his parent club, so he's not allowed to play. If you have him, put him on your bench. If you're going to get him, don't do it this week. Just so everyone knows, it's not an injury. He's just not allowed to play against City. Last topic, Dave, I want to ask you this one. So this is still far away. A lot of rumors. We know how the rumor mill works. So take it with a grain of salt. But rumors are Man U and Tottenham, those two teams especially, are a few of the EPL teams that are inquiring about Ter Stegen early, going into the January transfer window. He's a good keeper. We know this. So question for you is, if one of those teams goes and gets him, again, grain of salt, hypothetical world, does he instantly become a top-tier goalie option, especially if he goes to a team like Tottenham?
Yeah, if he goes to Spurs, for sure.
Not on Man U? You wouldn't take him if he goes to Man U?
I don't think Man U's going to buy him because they just bought Lemons and he just got a shutout because he's a beast.
Let's stick on Tottenham.
Yeah, if he goes to an actually good defensive team, then yes. Consider Tottenham one of those.
Yeah. We were saying Vicario, unfortunately, and it's not all his fault, good shots, like he made the save, but two rebounds right back in front of the net turned into two goals in the last 2 weeks, which ruined two shutouts.
Yeah.
Not blaming him for that, but I think a better goalie may at least
get one clean sheet out of that, but
probably so.
Yeah, yeah, I think if he goes, like in theory, if he went to Spurs, I would be very interested in him.
Okay, yeah, so that again, everyone, that's future thinking right there, just because we don't get a lot of goalies when it comes to FPL, like good goalies don't come into the league that often. We had Donnarumma. That was a big deal.
Oma.
So just putting it on the radar.
Clean sheet for that guy right now.
He's good. We knew Donnarumma. He's great.
Is he all clean sheets so far? Is it two games?
He's played two games.
United? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's played two.
Was that last week? No.
Or has he played one?
He's played three.
No.
Yeah, United?
I can't keep track of time right now.
And then what did they do last week? Oh, no, Burnley scored one. They won 5-1.
Yeah, Jadon Anthony scored.
Yeah, yeah. So he's had two out of three.
He's played four games.
Yeah.
Played before United?
He's played Manchester United, Arsenal, Burnley, Brentford. 6-1-2-6 points.
Dude, time flies.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Time flies.
Okay.
All right, still not bad.
All right, so let's get into the meat and potatoes of what we're doing here today. Today. So, I kind of mentioned it, but why are we even talking about this? We're talking about it because midfield right now, you guys can tell me if you disagree, hardest position, I think, to kind of pinpoint 3 to 4 solid players week in, week out. At least I'm having trouble with it, I think. And maybe it's kind of clearing up, but I'm having a little bit of trouble. And before you go, just points. If we take the top 10 players from every position, not including goalie, forwards have given us 343 points from the top 10. Midfielders, 420. Defenders, 421 from the top 10. So point is, defense, it's kind of a slam dunk right now. There's a lot of options. Everyone should be able to figure that out. Forward, it's Haaland, and then you're kind of just guessing. There's really not a lot of strategy at the moment until somebody turns it on. But midfield.
Mm-hmm.
Is anyone else struggling? Is it just me that's kind of struggling to get like 3 to 4 good guys?
I think there's a lot of choices. It's just like, yeah, like you said, the guys that you have confidence in that are going to be somewhat consistent. Because there hasn't been a whole lot of that outside of like Semenyo, yeah, and like Caicedo this season, of people that have been consistent. Maybe Jaden Anthony, you want to throw him in there.
But you don't trust two. I mean, I don't yet trust two of those three guys. I understand what they're doing, but do I trust them in a full season to continue doing it? No, not yet. So like, it's the names aren't quite yet in, you know, for me, like the name of the guy, I'm like, okay.
You don't trust Caicedo and Jaden Anthony.
I don't trust Caicedo. We'll get to Caicedo, but yes, I don't trust Caicedo to continue scoring, and maybe Jaden Anthony. But again, 4 goals, that's pretty good. But you saw him this last game, it was a struggle, and I feel like there's going to be a lot more of those for Burnley.
I think you're both kind of like saying the same thing in different ways. I think to Dave, to your point, there's a lot of options, and they're cheap. And to your point, Sean, they're players that have had great starts, but can they keep it going? And that's what makes it so difficult, because why would you doubt Anthony? Why would you doubt Sarr? Why would you doubt Enzo? Why would you doubt Caicedo? Because they've all produced, but they're not guys that, maybe Sarr, I'll leave him out, but there's not guys that could, you think are continuously going to produce. So how do you, it's more of a guessing game right now.
That's my problem.
How do you guess who is going to have those like returns every other games at that 5.5 to 6.5 price point? I've gotten it wrong.
I've gotten it wrong a lot.
I don't know.
And I'm struggling with, you get to a week and you pick a guy up, you use your free transfer, he doesn't perform, and now you say to your, or two, maybe three of them don't perform, and you're like, I got to get another transfer. I got to get another midfielder. And you try that guy, and it's like Kudus is an example. Everyone had him. Everyone dropped him. There he goes again. Is everyone going to go get him again? It's just...
Yeah.
And that's going to lead in to the next piece of this conversation. One of the reasons I think we're struggling so much is the three big names, the three most expensive guys, are the three biggest disappointments at the moment, talking about Salah, Palmer, Saka. These guys, when you can't depend on the most expensive players in the position, it makes life very, very difficult. And I have some stats I want to bring up.
Bring them up.
I'm going to bring them up because it
was... Educate us.
It was interesting. I want to bring them up before we go into the actual conversation. So, as it's loading, everyone relax.
Talk through it.
I will talk through it once I get it here. All right, so I wanted to take a look at these guys, right? I wanted to see, we're through 7 games. How are they performing versus last season 7? And if they were to continue performing the way they are, like, how does that look ending a season?
Okay. Right?
So, last season, we're talking about Salah, 343 points, which we all said before the season there was going to be regression. That was insanity. 9 points a game he was averaging. Palmer, 186. That was 5 points a game. Saka, 119. That was right around 5 points a game, all based on how many games they played. Saka played the least. He only played 25 games. Yep. So, not terrible for only playing 25 games. But when we look at them early in the season, right? Last season, Salah, at this point, was at 61 points. He's at 34 right now, so that's 44% less. Palmer, 38 points compared to his 11 right now, 71% less. Saka, 46 last year compared to 20 this year, 57% less. So these guys are horrendous at the moment. And I know injuries are a thing. I know injuries are a thing. But and the last thing I'll say before I pass it over is, you know, when we look at it, points per game so far, it's really low, and if we projected that out to end the season, and I understand really early, you can't really project these types of things out, but I'm going to do it anyways. Salah would end with 186 points versus the 343 from last year. Palmer would end with 61 points versus the 186 from last year. Saka would end with 111 versus the 119. He actually is the closest, and he's actually the one that I'm the most interested in. But take those numbers into account, everything I just said, knowing that everything can change.
Mm-hmm.
Start with Salah. Are we going to continue this? Is it going to change? Are we surprised? Are we not surprised? Dave.
I'm not surprised that, like, Haaland is more valuable than him, but I'm surprised at how poor he's looked.
Like, really bad.
With Salah, I have no interest until... And it's less about him, even though he hasn't played well, but... And this goes for Vertz, this goes for Gakpo, this goes for everyone on Liverpool not named Isak, in my mind. I don't have any interest in Salah or really anybody else from that team. Like, this is a Liverpool as a whole problem. Like, it's not like, oh, they're playing well and winning games, and Salah just, you know, is off right now. He's in a rut. The whole team, I don't think you can point at one guy on that team. Maybe Szoboszlai and Gravenberch have been pretty good, but, like, in real life, not for FPL. But there's no one on that team that you're looking at, oh, yeah, that guy's playing great right now. So I think Liverpool need to figure it out as a whole as to what's going on and what's causing them to look like this. And until they figure that out, I don't want any of their attacking players. Isak, I'm not lumping into this. We just haven't seen enough of him yet. But until they figure it out, I have no interest in Salah, Gakpo, Vertz, Van Dijk, none of them.
I mean, none of them. When you spend that kind of cash, money. Things happen. I think we said it before the season, and of course we could have just as easily been wrong. But when you spend that much money and get that many players at one time and try and fit them into a system that worked pretty well one way last year, now you're going to force these guys in. It doesn't always, again, maybe in by game week 15 they're back cooking, but right now it doesn't look like the system is fitting the players they buy.
I think it's an easy call right now to move off of all of them because their next four games are United, Brentford, Villa, City. So it's not terrible, but it's not great. But then after that, we know their schedule starting in game week 12 is really good.
Really good, yeah.
So, like, this is an easy month to just get off of those guys, use the money elsewhere, see how they look. But, yeah, I'm not interested in any of them until Liverpool as a whole. I think once they start playing better, all these guys will be somewhat relevant again. And that even includes, like, Florian Wirtz.
Yep.
So
we're in a unique season where there's a lot of options outside of the top two teams that you can go get. Phil, same question to you, except you've been a Palmer guy this season. So same thing to you. Are you surprised? Are you not surprised? I know injuries played a big part for him. Is it going to continue? Is it going to change?
I don't think I can answer that question without the injury situation. Because, like, when he has played, he's actually
go off that
super dangerous.
So let's say in 2 weeks, I know this is all hypothetical, in 2 weeks he's back. He's healthy for the majority of the season. Does it change for you? Is he worth it at that point?
Yeah, I think I'll need to see him play two full games and maybe I miss out on points, that's whatever. But I do think that if he gets healthy again and starts playing, he's going to be one of the
worth
key
the
guys.
Price.
Yeah, 100%.
That's funny you said that. That's the exact thing I was going to say. Is I want to see him play twice and not get hurt, and then I'll be back in.
Yeah.
That's all I need to see.
All right, I like that. And I'll start Saka. Give me your thoughts. But this is the guy Phil kind of gave me a bit of the rundown on this a week-ish ago when I took his advice. I had Saka this week. Phil had Saka this week. He took the PK, which... frankly, if you're the manager and you have to say, okay, I got a guy coming back from injury, one of my best players, I got my forward who's one of my best players who cannot get a goal, I understand why you give it to Saka. Probably a tough decision, though.
I have my thoughts on that. I'll give you the accurate answer to what happened there.
No, I understand what happened. I'm just
what
saying,
happened?
Like, okay, go ahead. Tell me what happened, Phil.
It was Saka's 100th goal contribution. So that's why I think he got the PK.
I think he got it because he's the captain and he's probably still the best player. I'm just saying it's like, okay, it's unfortunate for the forward who can't seem to get a goal that he doesn't get a chance to.
No, I
but
know.
It makes sense.
What I was trying to say is Gyökeres, I think, is still going to be the main PK guy.
Could be. Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep.
Well, okay.
But anyway, we'll find
matter,
out. We'll find out.
Yeah, for back me, Saka, I think right now of these three guys, Saka, I mean, it helps that he did just score a goal and he isn't hurt at the moment, but we know his injury history. To me, he's the most interesting because Odegaard's now out again, so he becomes even more of a mainstay. I do think we see Gyökeres. He's going to eventually get a goal. He's got so many opportunities. Saka's right there to give him the ball. Arsenal's probably the best team in the league, despite not being in first. I think they're in second still behind Liverpool. I like Saka of those three. I think he may end up being the highest points getter of those three as well. Whether that means he's top five or not overall, I think he's going to be the best of those three to end the season.
He's definitely the only one I would want right now.
Yeah,
sure, right now.
his concerns are obviously staying on the field, but just like the squad almost. Rotation stuff with Champions League.
But with Odegaard out, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's a mainstay guy out of the lineup. They now have Eze, right?
And so Madueke is hurt too. Yeah.
So I think for the moment, I do think he's going to, and he hasn't played for a lot of the season, so he's fresh for the most part. I think he's going to get a lot of minutes. But yeah, I agree with you. It's always a concern with that team.
I think later on in the season, if they go further in Champions League, that's where Arteta is really going to probably rotate him because, I mean, you can't win the
Champions League. No, God! No, God, please, no! No! No!
I don't want him rotated out, Phil.
No.
That was because I don't want to hear that from you. I want you to tell me he's going to play every minute
of
every game.
It's to say right now he's probably going to get those minutes because he didn't look like he was 100% still on the field. He looked
slow. Don't say that. Do I have to press it again?
No, my point is he still looked healthy, but he's going to need minutes to get back to that top form. But as long as he stays healthy, I don't think he'll rotate too much until we get a little deeper in those February Champions League months.
I think if he's healthy, you just accept the fact that there may be a week where he doesn't start. Yeah. But I think if he's healthy, he's that good that you're okay with that.
Yeah.
Phil, you're in a 5-minute timeout, by the way, because I don't like your opinions right now.
Okay.
So you don't talk for 5 minutes. Dave and I will continue the
conversation. Did you follow my opinion for soccer?
I did, and that's why I'm upset that you're telling me he's going to get hurt again or he's not going to play, whatever you said. Okay. So, I mean, that's as much as I think we could probably say in game week 7 on those three. We'll definitely be revisiting this because I think it's going to be a theme all season.
Mm-hmm.
So, I want to know, we're talking about all the midfielders. What's the strategy from you guys? And when I say that, I mean, you know, is it expensive guys or... At this point, expensive is in the probably 0.5 to 9 million range. That's expensive at the moment with these three out. So what, you guys going expensive? Are you guys thinking go cheap? Are you guys looking at 90-minute guys, playing 3 a week, playing 4 a week? I'm just looking for any strategy for the people to kind of understand how we are approaching it. Phil, do you want to give some thoughts?
I'll tee Dave up. I definitely think you should go either... don't want to get the math wrong, 5-3-2 or 4-5-1 or 4-4-2.
You're really out on the forwards. Just
you should not have three forwards.
No, it's not worth it.
If you believe in the defensive line, I mean, he might have a different opinion because I know you have Mateta too.
Interesting.
Gyökeres, Mateta, Haaland is a pretty...
No, keep going.
But, But I do think, like what you said about defenders, have 421 points or leading in points. That's something there to think about 4 or 5 each week. But I do think in the forward, I just don't like 2 or 3, I mean, right now.
So you're out on 3 at the top. You're going with so your thought is defensive heavy, less midfielders. And that makes sense, just looking at how the points have played out so far. Fair enough. Now, in your midfield, are you more interested in the cheaper midfielders to get the more expensive defenders like a Gabriel?
No. I think in the midfield, I'm still going to have the premium guys. I'm Semenyo. I'm counting premium. I know he's not premium.
Everyone should have Semenyo if you don't. He is the best midfielder at the moment.
Right.
Whether you think he's good or not, he is the best one.
My thought process is Semenyo, Saka, or Palmer, depending on fitness. Right now, Saka. I'm still going to believe in Mr. Rat, so Bruno. And then you have to play around with, like, 10 to 12 million for 2 cheaper guys.
All right.
And it's those 2 guys. How can you key in on the 2 guys that are more consistently than not?
Right.
Yeah.
All right, Dave. Same question goes to you. Strategy wise, maybe it doesn't have to be your team exactly. It could just be what you think is the best way to go.
I'll never play 5 in the back in a non bench boost week.
That's a statement. Okay.
4-4-2, I have no issue. 4-5-1, no issue. I get it. I'll just never play 5 in the back. I don't know.
For the record, this is why you come to watch us, everyone who watches us. You don't get 3 people who disagree with each other all the time. You know, you get all these different opinions, just saying.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get one opinion says this is the best way. You get this disagreement.
One, I just think it's hard to have 5 defenders in general on your team at all times that you're comfortable playing, because a lot of people use that last defender as a throwaway. The second thing is, like, you there's rarely you get all five defenders in a good matchup unless you do what I just did and I wild carded and I'm gonna bench boost in game week 8. So I picked five guys that have good matchups in game week 8.
That helps.
But I just don't think, I think naturally that's hard to stumble upon where you have five guys you feel good about using in a game week. But as far as the midfield goes, I like kind of feel the same way as Phil. I'm out on all of the premium guys right now, other than Saka. I didn't pick him for my team. I preferred to go more balanced in the midfield. I think I'm out on Bruno for now, even though we did call him matchup proof, and I think he still is matchup proof.
He continues to get all the change. Did you see that save?
I know.
He should have had that.
Matchup proof means like I'm okay with playing him any week.
90 minutes, he's always involved.
There's just five or six guys that I think I would rather have right now. But my approach is there's the cheap guys that are like under 6 million, and then there's like that 6 million to 7.5 range. Mm-hmm. My preference is to have Semenyo as your premium guy. He's a cheap, we'll call him a cheap premium guy.
Sure.
And then pick two guys from the sub $6 million crew. And to me, you're picking two of Jay and Anthony Reinders, Caicedo, and I also really like Lucas Paqueta. Pick your favorite two of that group, and then pick your favorite two or three out of the group that's like 6 to 7.5. And that group is like Enzo, Sarr, Endai, Kudus, Gordon, Grealish, Alanga, Doku, Rice, Minte, that whole crew. There's a bunch of guys that I like in that range.
Yeah.
I didn't say Cody Gakpo. That was on purpose. Sorry, Sean.
He's okay. Also 7.5.
Yeah, he's at the top end of that. Yeah.
Too many players on that team now.
So I went with, as you had up earlier, I went with Enzo, Sarr, Kudus, and Gordon from that tier. So I loaded up on that middle tier. I just, there's a lot of guys in there with underlying numbers that look good and that match up with the eye test. That's my strategy. I'm staying away from the super premium midfielders at the moment.
I do think Sarr might be becoming almost like a must-have at 6.4 million or whatever he is now.
With Eze gone, he is that position for them.
And you know he's going to play most of the minutes. He's connects everything for them right now. So
sure.
I don't know.
No,
I feel like he's such a solid guy to have it at that price.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I'm with both of you. I think the moral of this story is we said it about defenders earlier in the season. We're in a weird season where you don't need to spend a bunch of money on these guys. Like, you can get cheap guys and have money in your bank and get it ready for a rainy day or when a Palmer or someone comes back. Don't feel like you have to be like, I have 3 million in the bank, gotta get an 8 million guy, gotta get a 9 million guy. You don't have to do that. You really don't have to do that, and you'll be fine with Kudus, Semenyo, Caicedo, Reinders. Like, that midfield's fine, and mm-hmm. that's a cheap midfield, so you can do that. Now, let's just continue the actually, let's make sure that I tell everybody that conversation is fire selling. Certified. Now, let's finish this off with some actual player conversations, right? Let's give the people a couple players we like or don't like, for that matter. I will start with the guy that I just mentioned that we already talked about. Hit my mic. No worries, though. That is Caicedo. I want to start with Caicedo because we talked about it earlier. 5.7 million, 13.5% owned right now. And it needs to be talked about because preseason everyone was in on Caicedo, but not for the reason that we're in on him now. We were in on Caicedo for DEFCON, which is deserved. He has the most DEFCON in FPL right now. I think he's at 96. But what no one saw coming is the fact that he now has 3 goals in 7 games. Listen to this. Since 2022, guess how many goals he's had in the EPL since 2022, not including this season?
3, 2, 1.
He's had 1 goal, 2022, 23, 24. 3 seasons of football, 1 goal. He has 3 goals in 7 games already. So for me, that's why I said I'm still a little like, do I trust a guy like that? But I also thought that he was like 26 or 27 years old. He's 23. And I'm wondering, is this who he is and who he was before, was just him becoming this player? At 23 years old, is this him hitting his prime? Is this him doing something that maybe was coming? Phil, you're shaking your head, so what's your opinion? You think this is a total farce?
Yeah,
Goal-wise, yeah.
Well, that's yeah, he's never going to get assists, but goal-wise, is this, you're expecting him to end with 4 goals in the season, something like that?
I mean, if he doesn't, he's like the new Valverde, and he's just scoring screamers every week.
23, maybe he is.
Seeing him kick the ball, it doesn't make me believe that scoring screamers is his natural gift. But here's the thing. I'm heavily considering transferring him. I think getting a Chelsea midfielder right now is probably a good move, him or Enzo. Him on the cheaper side, Enzo at least until Palmer comes back on the more expensive side. But I'm getting him because he just feels like he's going to get you minimum 4 points a week.
Exactly what I
have. And at that price, I'm happy with 4 points. I'll take that. If I play him, great. Maybe he's on my bench for a week or so. And then if he gets a goal and he continues scoring these top-end shots, then so be it. But I'm not going to get him because of seeing him. He had 3 goals on 0.5 XG. That's not normal.
You took the words out of my mouth because get him and put him on your bench if you don't want to play him. Phil's point, he's going to get you 4+. He's done that every week but one. Yeah. So it's almost a guaranteed 4. Sometimes that's good, you know? Sometimes it's good. So I do worry when Palmer comes back, if he turns back into a bit of a pumpkin when it comes to scoring chances. We'll see. I'm not saying he will.
Think so.
I think Enzo and him are affected by Palmer being out versus João Pedro probably negatively affected with Palmer out. So we'll see what happens when Palmer comes back. But
One thing on Caicedo real quick.
Yeah.
Totally agree with everything Phil said.
Not Sean,
the goals, he has 45 points on 27.3 XFPL.
I'm aware. It's not good.
But I do think he's going to be very consistent. The only midfielder in FPL so far that is better than him in BPS is Semenyo. So between, you know, clean sheets here and there, BPS, he'll probably get a few odd assists, DEFCON. I think he's going to be super consistent and have a bunch of 4 and 5 point weeks. So at that, again, like you just said, at that price, he's the perfect, like, sort of helps you level out your week, you know, that consistent presence.
And one thing on the BPS is they heavily consider DEFCON because I still don't understand BPS, but what I'm gathering from searching it every single weekend, because I really don't understand how it works, is BPS is supposed to give players points for how they do in their position.
For everything that doesn't show up on the score sheet.
Yeah, but specific to their position. So like
don't know what those things are.
A forward blocking like a pass or like doing a tackle isn't giving them as much BPS as like a defender doing it or a midfielder doing it. So it's by position. And to your point, DEFCON, Caicedo's a DEFCON monster. That adds to his BPS.
Exactly.
So then if at least Chelsea wins and he gets DEFCON, he's probably going to get at least one more bonus point, to your point, Dave.
I think we're all in on, you should probably just have Caicedo. I think of the three, him, Reinders is probably number two, and then Elliot Anderson. Those were the three cheap guys. I think Caicedo is probably at number one right now. Who else wants to talk about a midfielder they're into or not into?
You know who I'm really into right now?
Yeah, I'm really into them right now, Brian.
Go for it.
Okay.
I've talked plenty.
I think Newcastle is honestly a little overlooked at the moment, outside of their defense. I really like Anthony Gordon. Similar to Saka, there's some squad rotation concerns, but he's pretty clearly their first choice player on the left. His expected numbers per 90 minutes, because he's only played like half the minutes that every other player at his position has this season, are really good. He hasn't scored yet. His expected goal numbers are excellent.
Because he gets 20 shots a game as a forward.
I'm good. I'm fine with that. But I bought him in my wild card. He's somebody I definitely have my eye on. His numbers look really good in his limited spell so far.
All right. Phil, you seem like you had someone you want to go to.
No, I was just going to say, I think I mentioned it earlier, but Enzo, with Palmer out, does play a more offensive role. He's
better with him out, yeah.
And I hate him, so I'll probably never pick him in for personal reasons, but not smart of me as a FPL.
Is that a Real Madrid reason?
Argentinian.
Oh, okay. So people know that you don't, like, have a...
Not Argentinians. Argentinian soccer players that played for the national team.
No, we love
Argentinians. Yeah.
Phil just doesn't like Argentina, the football team.
Yes. But I think especially with Chelsea, they have a couple tough games over the next like 6-7 game weeks, but overall they have a lot of easy
pretty
ones.
Solid schedule.
So even for that extra clean sheet point, a midfielder, we talked about DEFCON,
sure,
assists or goal here and there, I think he's an interesting option.
I want to bring up a guy that we talked about preseason. He's absolutely a differential, and I don't think you should even get him for the next 3 weeks. But the schedule is just terrible for them. But got to bring him up, Daniel Mallon. We talked about him. Everyone was talking about, not everyone, but we were talking about him prior to like early August when he had like handful of goals, handful of assists in the preseason, looking good. Came in from BVB last season in the January transfer window. Didn't play. Hasn't played this season. Aston Villa is terrible. Can't score a goal. And lo and behold, throw the guy in a game. Give him some legit minutes. 2 goals. Looked good. That might be as many goals as Villa has in the season. That's as many goals as Salah has in the season, by the way. But there's not a lot of stats for this guy. Because, again, he's didn't really play last season or this season. So we don't have a lot to go on. His BVB numbers, nothing amazing, but he's 26. I think that can be considered a prime of your career. He has 8 shots in only 230 minutes so far. That's less minutes than half of most of the midfielders that don't have that many shots. He has 2 goals, like I said, same as Salah. But like I said, 3 tough matchups, Tottenham, City, Liverpool. But right after that, they get Bournemouth, Leeds, Wolves, Brighton. And if in these next 3 games you see him playing 70-plus minutes, it might be a sneaky pick to pick him up, knowing that there's not a lot we can get from Villa right now, so maybe he's that guy that can do something for them. So just wanted to bring him up again because no one's really mentioning him at the moment.
Yeah, you have to think of a team like Villa that has struggled to score goals, that they have a guy that they finally start and scores twice, that he'll keep playing.
Got to.
But,
that's what I'm saying. If it was in Arsenal and he gets 2, it's like, okay, minutes maybe go up a little. This team is thirsty for goals. You got to put this guy in now. At least give him a shot.
Yeah.
0.6% owned, by the way.
Yeah, I think if he has one more good week, I think that that ownership rate is going to hit like double digits pretty fast.
it's going to go up. Anyone else from you two?
I just think Foden might be an interesting guy too. Watching his last few games, he probably should have scored against Brentford. He looks to be like the guy from 2 years ago that was just involved in absolutely everything. Obviously, he's much more expensive, but if you're someone like me that's held on to Bruno and maybe you're not trusting him anymore and you want to move off but want to get a guy on like a bigger team that's going to get the ball a lot, getting Phil Foden could be an interesting option. Again, I think he's just been involved from the games I've watched from the eye test. Like, he's involved in a lot. So, I don't know. It's an interesting guy. I'm not going to get him, so I'm not saying. Just because
what kind of recommendation is that?
If you don't believe in Bruno anymore, I would get Phil Foden, for example. But I still believe in Bruno. I'm just saying that he's a guy that's involved in basically every single City attack, and I know it's...
Someone else has to score a goal for them.
Yeah.
There's truly no one else.
Do you know that? No other player on that team has more than 1 goal.
Yeah, because Haaland's a beast.
I believe it.
Dave, we're getting close to time. Anyone else you want to throw in there quickly?
I mean, no one that we've really haven't talked about. Sar and Kudus are two guys I love. I think Kudus deserved... Didn't get the returns early in the season when he had a really good start for them.
Agreed.
I think the returns are coming for him now.
He has 5 assists.
Yeah, they just need
to get 5?
Yeah. He has 6 returns.
Tottenham just needs to score some freaking goals, man. They need to get a forward
Dave just
that
come in pairs,
plays every also. Game. They go through Mathis Tell, Richarlison, Solanke. It's like they got a new forward every week, so it's hard to be consistent.
And Sar, I just think the big chances are coming to him. Him and Mateta right now on that team. The only thing that slowed Sar down was injuries, or else he'd be like 30% owned. So,
sure. Yep. All right. And the last one I got is, I just want to mention Eberechi Eze again. I know we're not talking about him too much. I mean, 13.4% owned, but Odegaard's out. He's probably going to start getting 70-plus minutes. MCL sprain, that's a pretty hefty injury, so he's going to get minutes. Problem with him, always been my issue with him, he gets a bunch of shots, but he cannot put them on net. 17 shots so far, 6 on target, 0 goals, 3 assists on 3 attempted assists. That's not going to continue. I mean, his shot on target percentage is like 30%. That's bad. Last season, he had 102 shots. Only 29 were on target, so he had a 28% on target ratio. That was the worst of any player who had 50 shots or more. But point is, he's on a better team now. Maybe he turns it around, similar to what Semenyo has already done. If he can get those shots and put them on net, he's going to be a threat because he gets so many. So just keep your eyes out. I'm not ready to get him because I need to see him put the ball in the net. But just notice he's on best team in the Premier League probably. Might get 70-plus minutes, 17 shots, which is, I think, tied for first with any midfielder in FPL right now. And he's played a lot less minutes. So just think about it.
He skied an open netter.
I'm well aware. We're all aware of what his issue is. If he could put the ball in the net even some of the time, he'd be a top player.
I honestly think his issue is not him. It's that if you have Arsenal guys, you probably have three guys already for that team, so you don't have space for him.
Fair.
That might be his problem.
But that was the last one. That was the last one. We're at time, so let's wrap it up. We don't want to talk too long. We'll be back next week, though. We'll be back next week. As always, if you're watching on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe. We've been getting some subscribers recently. We really appreciate that. We had a comment, a very nice comment. We thank you for that. Check us out on socials, Instagram, Spotify, X, iTunes, if you want to listen to us there as well. You know, or Apple Music, sorry.
In between Taylor iTunes. Swift songs.
In between your Taylor Swift music, you can listen to us on Apple and or Spotify. And I think, am I missing anything?
Nah, you got it all.
I think we got it all. Check out the Instagram, though, for sure. Check out the Instagram. We got some new visuals been popping out there. We're really liking it. We're really saucing with those things. So
saucing.
Yeah, saucing. Check us out there. But no, thank you for watching. We'll be back next week. And with that, see ya.
See ya.
Bye.